And now, Chapter 21, The Story of the Syamantok Jewel. There was a king of the name Satrajit within the jurisdiction of Dvorkadam. He was a great devotee of the sun god, who awarded him the benediction of a jewel known as Syamantok. Because of this Syamantok jewel, there was a misunderstanding between King Satrajit and the Yadu dynasty. Later, the matter was settled when Satrajit voluntarily offered Krishna his daughter, Satyabhama, along with the jewel, Syamantok. Not only Satyabhama, but also Jambavati, the daughter of Jambavan, was married to Krishna on account of the Syamantok jewel. These two marriages took place before the appearance of Pradyumna, as described in the last chapter. How King Satrajit offended the Yadu dynasty, and how he later came to his senses and offered his daughter and the Syamantok jewel to Krishna, is described as follows. Since he was a great devotee of the sun god, King Satrajit gradually entered into a very friendly relationship with him. The sun god was pleased with him and delivered to him an exceptional jewel known as Syamantok. When Satrajit wore this jewel in a locket around his neck, he appeared exactly like an imitation sun god. Putting on this jewel, he would enter the city of Dvorka, and people would think that the sun god had come into the city to see Krishna. They knew that Krishna, being the supreme personality of Godhead, was sometimes visited by the demigods. So while Satrajit was visiting the city of Dvorka, all the inhabitants, except Krishna, took him to be the sun god himself. Although King Satrajit was known to everyone, he could not be recognized because of the dazzling effulgence of the Syamantok jewel. Once, mistaking Satrajit to be the sun god, some of the important citizens of Dvorka immediately went to Krishna to inform him that the sun god had arrived to see him. At that time, Krishna was playing chess. One of the important residents of Dvorka spoke thus, "My dear Lord Narayan, you are the supreme personality of Godhead. In your plenary portion as Narayan, or Vishnu, you have four hands with different symbols, the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower. You are actually the owner of everything. But in spite of your being the supreme personality of Godhead, Narayan, you descended in Vrindavan to act as the child of Yashoda Mata, who sometimes used to tie you up with her ropes, and you are celebrated, therefore, by the name Damodar." That Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, Narayan, as accepted by the citizens of Dvorka, was later confirmed by the great Mayavadi philosophical leader, Shankaracharya. By accepting the Lord as impersonal, he did not reject the Lord's personal form. Everything which has form in this material world is subject to creation, maintenance, and annihilation. But because the supreme personality of Godhead, Narayan, does not have a material form subject to these limitations, Shankaracharya, to convince the less intelligent men who take Krishna to be an ordinary human being, said that God is impersonal. This impersonality means that he is not a person of this material condition. He is a transcendental personality without a material body. The citizens of Dvorka addressed Lord Krishna not only as Damodar, but also as Govinda, which indicates that Krishna is very affectionate to the cows and calves. And just to refer to their intimate connection with Krishna, they addressed him as Yadunandan, because he was born the son of Vasudev, in the Yadu dynasty. In this way, the citizens of Dvorka concluded that they were addressing Krishna as the supreme master of the whole universe. They addressed Krishna in many different ways, proud of being citizens of Dvorka who could see Krishna daily. When Satrajit was visiting the city of Dvorka, the citizens felt great pride to think that although Krishna was living in Dvorka like an ordinary human being, the demigods were coming to see him. Thus they informed Lord Krishna that the sun god, with his appealing bodily effulgence, was coming to see him. The citizens of Dvorka confirmed that the sun god's coming into Dvorka was not very wonderful, because people all over the universe who were searching after the Supreme Personality of Godhead knew that he had appeared in the family of the Yadu dynasty and was living in Dvorka as one of the members of that family. Thus, the citizens expressed their joy on this occasion. On hearing the statements of his citizens, the all-pervasive personality of Godhead, Krishna, simply smiled. Being pleased with the citizens of Dvorka, Krishna informed them that the person they described as the sun god was actually King Satrajit, who had come to visit Dvorka city to show his opulence in the form of the valuable jewel obtained from the sun god. Satrajit, however, did not come to see Krishna. He was instead overwhelmed by the jewel Syamantak. He installed the jewel in a temple to be worshipped by Brahmins he engaged for this purpose. This is an example of a less intelligent person worshipping a material thing. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that less intelligent persons, in order to get immediate results from their fruitive activities, worship the demigods created within this universe. The word materialist means one concerned with gratification of the senses within this material world. Although Krishna later asked for this Syamantak jewel, King Satrajit did not deliver it. On the contrary, he installed the jewel for his purposes of worship. And who would not worship that jewel? The Syamantak jewel was so powerful that daily it produced a large quantity of gold. A quantity of gold is counted by a measurement called bada. According to Vedic formulas, one bada is equal to 16 pounds of gold, and one mound equals 82 pounds. The jewel was producing about 170 pounds of gold every day. Besides that, it is learned from Vedic literature that in whatever part of the world this jewel was worshipped, there was no possibility of famine, and wherever the jewel was present, there was no possibility of anything inauspicious, such as pestilence or disease. Lord Krishna wanted to teach the world that the best of everything should be offered to the ruling chief of the country. King Ugrasen was the overlord of many dynasties and happened to be the grandfather of Krishna. So Krishna asked Satrajit to present the Syamantak jewel to King Ugrasen. Krishna pleaded that the best should be offered to the king, but Satrajit, being a worshipper of the demigods, had become too materialistic, and instead of accepting the request of Krishna, thought it wiser to worship the jewel to get the 170 pounds of gold every day. Materialistic persons who can achieve such huge quantities of gold are not interested in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, therefore, to show special favor, Krishna takes away one's great accumulations of materialistic wealth and thus makes one a great devotee. But Satrajit refused to abide by the order of Krishna and did not deliver the jewel. After this incident, Satrajit's younger brother, in order to display the opulence of the family, took the jewel, put it on his neck, and rode on horseback into the forest, making a show of his material opulence. While Satrajit's brother, who was known as Prasen, was moving here and there in the forest, a big lion attacked him, killing both him and the horse on which he was riding, and took away the jewel to his cave. News of this was received by the gorilla king, Jambavan, who then killed that lion in the cave and took away the jewel. Jambavan had been a great devotee of the Lord since the time of Lord Ramachandra, so he did not take the valuable jewel as something he very much needed. He gave it to his young son to play with as a toy. In the city, when Satrajit's younger brother Prasen did not return from the forest with the jewel, Satrajit became very upset. He did not know that his brother had been killed by a lion, and that the lion had been killed by Jambavan. He thought instead that because Krishna wanted that jewel, which had not been delivered to him, Krishna might have therefore taken the jewel from Prasen by force and killed him. This idea grew into a rumor, which Satrajit spread in every part of Dwarka. The false rumor that Krishna had killed Prasen and taken away the jewel spread everywhere like wildfire. Krishna did not like to be defamed in that way, and therefore he decided that he would go to the forest and find the Syamantak jewel. Taking with him some of the important inhabitants of Dwarka, Krishna went to search out Prasen, the brother of Satrajit, and found him dead, killed by the lion. At the same time, Krishna also found the lion killed by Jambavan, who is generally called Riksha. It was found that the lion had been killed by the hand of Riksha without the assistance of any weapon. Krishna and the citizens of Dwarka then found in the forest a great tunnel, said to be the path to Riksha's house. Krishna knew that the inhabitants of Dwarka would be afraid to enter the tunnel. Therefore, he asked them to remain outside, and he himself entered the dark tunnel alone to find Riksha, or Jambavan. After entering the tunnel, Krishna saw that the valuable jewel, known as Syamantak, had been given to the son of Riksha as a toy. To take the jewel from the child, Krishna approached and stood before him. When the nurse taking care of Riksha's child saw Krishna standing before her, she was afraid, thinking he might take away the valuable Syamantak jewel, and she began to cry loudly out of fear. Hearing the nurse crying, Jambavan appeared on the scene in a very angry mood. Jambavan was actually a great devotee of Lord Krishna, but because he was angry, he could not recognize his master and thought him to be an ordinary man. This brings to mind the statement of the Bhagavad Gita in which the Lord advises Arjuna to get free from anger, greed, and lust in order to rise to the spiritual platform. Lust, anger, and greed run parallel in the heart and check one's progress on the spiritual path. Not recognizing his master, Jambavan first challenged him to fight. There was then a great fight between Krishna and Jambavan, in which they fought like two opposing vultures. Whenever there is an edible corpse, the vultures fight heartily over the prey. Krishna and Jambavan, first of all, began fighting with weapons. then with stones, then with big trees, then hand to hand, until at last they were hitting one another with their fists, their blows like the striking of thunderbolts. Each expected victory over the other, but the fighting continued for days, both in daytime and at night, without stopping. In this way, the fighting continued for 28 days. Although Jumbaban was the strongest living entity of that time, practically all the joints of his bodily limbs became slackened, and his strength reduced to practically nil, for he was struck constantly by the fists of Sri Krishna. Feeling very tired with perspiration all over his body, Jumbaban was astonished. Who is this opponent who is weakening him? Jumbaban was quite aware of his own superhuman bodily strength, but when he felt tired from being struck by Krishna, he could understand that Krishna was no one else but his worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This incident has special significance for devotees. In the beginning, Jumbaban could not understand Krishna because his vision was obscured by material attachment. He was attached to his boy and to the greatly valuable Syamantak jewel, which he did not want to spare for Krishna. In fact, when Krishna came there, he was angry, thinking that Krishna had come to take away the jewel. This is the material position. Although one is very strong in body, that cannot help him understand Krishna. In a sporting attitude, Krishna wanted to engage in a mock fight with his devotee. As we have experienced from the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the propensities and instincts of a human being. Sometimes, in a sportive spirit, he wishes to fight, to make a show of bodily strength. And when he so desires, he selects one of his suitable devotees to give him that pleasure. Krishna desired this pleasure of mock fighting with Jumbaban. Although Jumbaban was a devotee by nature, he was without knowledge of Krishna while giving service to the Lord by his bodily strength. But as soon as Krishna was pleased by the fighting, Jumbaban immediately understood that his opponent was none other than the Supreme Lord himself. The conclusion is that he could understand Krishna by his service, for Krishna is sometimes satisfied by fighting also. Jumbaban therefore said to the Lord, "My dear Lord, I can now understand who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the source of everyone's strength, wealth, reputation, beauty, wisdom, and renunciation." This statement of Jumbaban's is confirmed by the Vedanta Sutra, wherein the Supreme Lord is declared to be the source of everything. Jumbaban identified Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality, Lord Vishnu. "My dear Lord, you are the creator of the creators of the universal affairs." This statement is very instructive to the ordinary man who is amazed by the activities of a person with an exceptional brain. The ordinary man is surprised to see the inventions of a great scientist, but the statement of Jumbaban confirms that although a scientist may be a creator of many wonderful things, Krishna is the creator of the scientist. He is the creator of not only one scientist, but of millions and trillions all over the universe. Jumbaban said further, "Not only are you the creator of the creators, but you are the creator of the material elements, which the so-called creators manipulate. Scientists utilize the physical elements or laws of material nature to do something wonderful, but actually, such laws and elements are also the creation of Krishna. This is actual scientific understanding. Less intelligent men do not try to understand who created the brain of the scientist. They are satisfied simply to see the wonderful creation or invention of the scientist. Jambavan continued, "My dear Lord, the time factor, which combines all the physical elements, is also your representative. You are the supreme time factor in which all creation takes place, is maintained, and is finally annihilated. And beyond the physical elements and the time factor, the persons who manipulate the ingredients and advantages of creation are part and parcel of you. The living entity is not, therefore, an independent creator. By studying all factors in the right perspective, one can see that you are the supreme controller and lord of everything. My dear Lord, I can therefore understand that you are the same supreme personality of Godhead, whom I worship as Lord Ramachandra. My Lord Ramachandra wanted to construct a bridge over the ocean, and I saw personally how the ocean became agitated simply by my Lord's glancing over it. And when the whole ocean became agitated, the living entities, like the whales, alligators, and Timingala fish, all became perturbed. The Timingala fish in the ocean can swallow big aquatics, like whales, in one gulp. In this way, the ocean was forced to give way and allow Ramachandra to cross to the island known as Lanka. This construction of a bridge over the ocean from Cape Comorin to Ceylon is still well known to everyone. After the construction of the bridge, a fire was set all over the kingdom of Ravan. During the fighting with Ravan, every part of Ravan's limbs was slashed to pieces by your sharp arrows, and his head fell to the face of the earth. Now I can understand that you are none other than my Lord Ramachandra. No one else has such immeasurable strength. No one else could defeat me in this way." Lord Krishna was satisfied by the prayers and statements of Jambavan. And to mitigate Jambavan's pain, he began to stroke the lotus palm of his hand all over Jambavan's body. Thus Jambavan at once felt relieved from the fatigue of the great fight. Lord Krishna then addressed him as King Jambavan, because he, and not the lion, was actually the king of the forest, having killed a lion with his naked hand without a weapon. Krishna informed Jambavan that he had come to ask for the Syamantak jewel, because since the Syamantak jewel had been stolen, his name had been defamed by the less intelligent. Krishna plainly informed him that he had come there to ask for the jewel in order to be free from this defamation. Jambavan understood the whole situation, and to satisfy the Lord, he immediately delivered not only the Syamantak jewel, but also his daughter Jambavati, who was of marriageable age, and presented her to Lord Krishna. The episode of Jambavati's marriage with Krishna and the delivery of the jewel known as Syamantak was finished within the mountain cave. Although the fighting between Krishna and Jambavan went on for 28 days, the inhabitants of Dvarka waited outside the tunnel for 12 days, and after that, they decided that something undesirable must have happened. They could not understand for certain what had actually happened, and being very sorry and tired, they returned to the city of Dvarka. All the members of the family, namely Krishna's mother Devaki, his father Vasudev, and his chief wife Rukmini, along with all other friends, relatives, and residents of the palace, were very sorry when the citizens returned home without Krishna. Because of their natural affection for Krishna, they began to call Satrajit ill names, for he was the cause of Krishna's disappearance. They went to worship the goddess Chandrabhaga, praying for the return of Krishna. The goddess was satisfied by the prayers of the citizens of Dwarka, and she immediately offered them her benediction. Simultaneously, Krishna appeared on the scene, accompanied by his new wife, Jambavati, and all the inhabitants of Dwarka and relatives of Krishna became joyful. The inhabitants of Dwarka were as joyful as someone receiving a dear relative back from the dead. They had concluded that Krishna had been put into great difficulties due to the fighting. Therefore, they had become almost hopeless of his return. But when they saw that Krishna had actually returned, not alone, but with a new wife, Jambavati, they immediately performed another ceremony of celebration. King Ugrasen then called for a meeting of all important kings and chiefs. He also invited Satrajit, and Krishna explained before the whole assembly the incident of the recovery of the jewel from Jambavan. Krishna wanted to return the valuable jewel to King Satrajit. Satrajit, however, was ashamed because he had unnecessarily defamed Krishna. He accepted the jewel in his hand, but he remained silent, bending his head downwards. And without saying anything in the assembly of the kings and chiefs, he returned home with the jewel. Then he thought about how he could clear himself of the abominable act he had performed by defaming Krishna. He was conscious that he had offended Krishna very grievously, and that he had to find a remedial measure so that Krishna would again be pleased with him. King Satrajit was eager to get relief from the anxiety he had foolishly created due to being attracted by a material thing, specifically the Syamantak jewel. Truly afflicted by the offense he had committed against Krishna, he sincerely wanted to rectify it. From within, Krishna gave him good intelligence, and Satrajit decided to hand over to Krishna both the jewel and his beautiful daughter, Satyabhama. There was no alternative for mitigating the situation, and therefore he arranged the marriage ceremony of Krishna and his daughter. He gave in charity both the jewel and his daughter to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satyabhama was so beautiful and qualified that Satrajit, in spite of being asked for her hand by many princes, was waiting to find a suitable son-in-law. By the grace of Krishna, he decided to hand his daughter over to him. Lord Krishna, being pleased with Satrajit, informed him that he did not have any need of the Syamantak jewel. "It is better to let it remain in the temple as you have kept it," he said, "and every one of us will derive benefit from this jewel. Because of the jewel's presence in the city of Dwarka, there will be no more famines or disturbances created by pestilence or excessive heat and cold." Thus ends the Bhakti Vedanta purport of the second volume, 21st chapter of Krishna, the story of the Syamantak jewel.